Enjoy fun adventures as you sail away together and experience the extraordinary marriage you desire. Join us in April 2025 for the Six Pillars at Sea Marriage Getaway. Yes, we are taking Six Pillars cruising and we want you to join us. Get all the details at oneextraordinarymarriage.com/getaway. Use promo code SHIPSAHOY to get $500 off your registration today. We'll see you there.
From San Diego, California, this is One Extraordinary Marriage Show, where being busy is overdone, romancing is fun, and scheduling sex has taken the guesswork out of wondering when you're going to get some. I'm Tony DiLorenzo, your co-host, along with my beautiful wife, Elisa. From coast to coast and around the world, thank you for joining us. It's time to talk sex, love, and commitment. Give us a call or text us on the Hug Hotline at 858-876-5663, or send us an email to hugs@oneextraordinarymarriage.com. In today's episode, we're addressing the concerns that a lot of women have when it takes too long for them to orgasm.
And there's an anonymous quote that says, sometimes the best things in life take time.
That's right.
So we're gonna focus on that today as we're talking about the length of time for orgasm and whatnot. But first, we start every One Extraordinary Marriage episode with a hug. And if you're brand new, we want to say welcome.
Yes.
We are so honored to have you listening into this episode. But the hug, just so you know a little bit more about it, it's an opportunity for us to celebrate what's going on in your marriage, what you're doing, where you're taking action. And this hug comes from a post in the One Family private Facebook group that was in response to a recent episode that we did called We Have Nothing to Talk About.
Mm.
And this wife says, it's so funny. I just told my husband on Sunday when we finished the Six Pillars of Intimacy book that I was so excited to ask him questions now because he is committed to communicating and can no longer say, I don't know.
Mm.
That's a huge win. As a coach, I am like so, so excited to hear you say that. She goes on to say, I had given up on deep, meaningful conversations many years ago because of too many I don't knows. We have had so many good conversations in the last 2 days. The 6-day intimacy breakthrough is really helping with that.
Mm. You know, this one is impactful. And what really impacted me on this was that line, I gave up on deep, meaningful conversations many years ago because of too many I don't knows. Mm. And a lot of times we talk about rejection from sexual rejection. Mm-hmm. And that line really hit me. I mean, that's rejection from an emotional estate, an mm-hmm. emotional intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And so often rejection will come up from a place of like, well, she won't have sex with me, or I'm being rejected in the bedroom. This is what we're hearing from the husband. And usually that's the story where we heard. And honestly, I mean, we've
often,
talked.
Often, not always, but more often than not. Yeah.
But that's what even we've talked about here over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And to hear that line, I'm like, oh, shoot. How many of us husbands have rejected our wives by saying, I don't know? And vice versa. And it can go,
ouch.
It can go both ways, right?
Ouch. Like,
but hey, if we're the one who's like, I don't know, and our spouse is trying to engage with us in our emotional intimacy, that's a form of rejection right there that can add cracks, massive cracks to your emotional intimacy pillar. So I am honored and blessed that you guys are in a place and for you individually to have been able to overcome that and step into a new place where you're going to have the extraordinary marriage you desire.
Side note, I just wrote it down because that might be a future episode on emotional rejection.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think you touched on something really powerfully there. We're not going to go there this week, though.
We're going to talk about orgasms. Let's go there.
This week, we're talking about orgasms. A little different. We're coming back to the sexual intimacy. And you'll notice that Tony and I probably aren't going to cry as much this episode as we did in last week's episode when
last
we were celebrating 800 and all of the journey that has gone into that. This week's episode came out of an exercise that Tony and I had done a few weeks back, a couple months now, probably. When we asked the question, you know, what question do you all have?
Mm-hmm.
What questions do you have about sexual intimacy? And this question came in that said, I feel guilty taking longer than my husband to orgasm. How do I get over that? And you know, as we look over these questions, and we'll be sprinkling them in with different episodes here over the next bit, it strikes me how significant this question is, mm-hmm. when a wife has the courage to say that. And I will also say, just off to the side, that there are times, reasons, seasons when men can also have difficulty coming to orgasm. So if this is the flip side, don't stop listening, because I think it's important for both husbands and wives to hear this message, right? To be in this place of understanding around it. Because the question isn't just about how long it takes to orgasm. It goes deeper into this place of saying, well, what are my feelings about the length of time that it takes, right? Who am I comparing myself to in terms of what I think is normal or what I think is the right amount of time? What is the knowledge of male and female anatomy and that whole arousal process and how long it actually takes to be in a place of arousal and then ultimately orgasm? And then what does it look like to have conversations with your spouse about this? Because I think this wife had so much courage to say that, because there are a lot of marriages, and you know, I've been working with couples now for 10 years, where this is a hard question to ask and it doesn't come up, and yet it becomes an issue because you're so far into your head mm-hmm. thinking, am I taking too long? Is he like wanting me to hurry up? What's going on with me? And this is something that we faced in our own marriage.
Oh yeah. And it was interesting because when I thought about this question, I really wanted to see it from the lens of the years that we've been married. Because I really wanted to think about from like where was I? Where am I now? And where was I a year, 2 years, 5 years married? Mm-hmm. Right? As a young man, you know, getting married at 23, and where I am now at 50, almost 51. And I think so often back then, there was no or very little concern if you did orgasm or not.
I would agree with that statement.
And as we grew closer together and as we began to learn one another and explore one another, that became less about just me, but about us. And mm-hmm. I would say in those, you know, those middle years, you know, maybe from the 60-day sex challenge on to maybe 5-7 years afterwards mm-hmm. was really this exploration stage for us. And I feel like in that stage, it was an interesting place because it was a learning. And mm-hmm. I think even in that stage of life for you too, you were still trying to learn, not trying, but you were still learning your own body and what does it feel like to orgasm?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? For us, it took us some time to get there to now where it's like, oh, we know, like this is, and for me personally, I don't care how long Elisa takes. Like literally it could take her an hour. It wouldn't bother me one bit because we've had these conversations and knowing that I am pleasing her first and foremost, mm-hmm. I'll get to me. And yet for us and for myself personally, I want to make sure that she has a great time.
But I don't, like, if you reflect back on those years, I don't think that was always the case, right? I definitely think you would say like, all right, like I'm just going to make this happen. Like I'm going to get mine.
And oh, that's what I was saying.
Right, right. But I'm just saying like to really give that contrast of the growth. And, you know, so you get into that place of going, okay, what does that dynamic look like? And then, you know, even preparing for this episode, you know, I started thinking through, I'm like, where do we get our messages about how long mm-hmm. an orgasm should take?
I think that's a great question.
Right. Like where does that come from? Because it's not like, in most families, a mom is sitting down with her daughter and saying, okay, honey, we're going to talk about like how an orgasm happens and what it looks like and the amount of time, the prescribed amount of time that, you know, it's not like, you know, Dr. Spock had that in, you know, like raising babies or whatever. So that conversation doesn't happen. So we learn it from somewhere, whether it is a movie, whether it is pornography, whether it is hearing friends talk about, like this knowledge gets passed on. But if we talk about
truth,
is it truth?
Is it truth from a physiological, like your body's reacting and engaging in that part of the sexual activity, the foreplay.
100%. Because, you know, one of the things that came up just in some of the comments, and, you know, statistics bear this out, research bears this out, is that it takes women on average about 15 to 20 minutes of stimulation, constant stimulation, to get to orgasm, right? Men, 5 to 7 minutes. Now, hold up and just, you know, come back here with me for a quick second.
Constant stimulation.
If you're watching a movie that is 2 hours long, mm-hmm. and there is a sex scene in that movie, okay, they do not have 20 minutes of constant stimulation for, like, in a 2 hour movie, if it's like a rom-com or something like that. Like, nobody's got time for that.
Yeah, I mean, that's an hour and a half movie, so.
Right, because you got to have the lead up, and you got to have the, that's not happening. So we see it in a very condensed time frame. Mm-hmm. And in pornography, which is also a ridiculous distortion of what sexual intimacy looks like, that's all edited to look faster and more intense. Like, all of that is fake.
It's acted.
It's fake. Pornography is fake. Movies are fake when they're showing you what this looks like. So I'm going to come against the comparison to those things and be like, hey, let's back up and start going, what does it look like for us? Because men and women are made differently. And I have no problem saying that on this podcast. The arousal systems, how our bodies work, mechanics, anatomy, all of that kind of stuff, from a man's body to a woman's body, not the same thing.
Yep. And if you haven't studied both the vagina and the penis, I'll put two books in here that you must pick up and you must read for your own knowledge of your own anatomy, and then pick up the other so you learn about your spouses. Mm-hmm. And the first is the Vagina Bible, and the second is the Penis Book.
And then two other books that I would add to that, this is going to be like a library, you know, section of this particular episode, is the book Come As You Are, yes, by Emily Nagoski, and then also the book She Comes First by Ian Kerner. Four books that I actually think every couple should have. Like, I'm literally standing in my office right now as we record this, and I can see all four of those books literally within, like, arm's reach, because they're so important. Because we have to know, too, ladies, you got to clear through all of the stuff that's going on in your head to be able to get to the point where you are fully present to have an orgasm. Straight up, you've got the grocery list, and you've got, you know, what the dinner's going to be tomorrow night, and you've got the kids' obligations for the next week, and all of these types of things. And you have to work through that in order to get fully present and attached to your body and being in this place where you can orgasm. You also have to know that sometimes if you are in this place of, and these are some of the comments and suggestions that came out of the one family when I posed this question. Some people suggested, hey, what about foreplay first? And I was like, yes, please. Yes, please. Let's remember that foreplay is part of your sexual intimacy, mm-hmm. right? Changing up the sexual experience, really putting together a plan that works for both husband and wife. The, you know, and talking about this, oh my goodness, emotional intimacy and sexual intimacy coming together. And I love that there were two comments just when talking about changing up the sexual experience. Somebody said, come up with a plan that works for both people. Talk to your husband and see what he thinks. And then somebody even went so far as to say, if it needs to be talked about, do so outside of the bedroom. And I'm like, yes! We've been saying that for years, years and years and years, because sometimes it is changing up the sexual experience, right? Different positions can allow for orgasm to happen faster. You know, we can be in this place of talking about what feels good. Mm-hmm. Ladies, you don't need my permission, but I'm going to give it to you. It's okay to tell your husband that something feels good and creates a sensation inside your body. Mm-hmm. In fact, he'll be really happy to know. Right? It's understanding your anatomy like we talked about, but it's also getting into this place where understanding that getting to an orgasm is about being on a journey. Mm. And there were a few key comments that came from the one family that I think are so important, and we'll share those after this break.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
We're back. And I want to start, as we're talking about, you know, this concept of taking too long to orgasm, with these comments that were so powerful and meaningful to me as I read them. You know, one couple said, the thing that changed our sex life more than anything else is the discovery in the past couple of years that it's not reaching orgasm that makes sex great, but it's enjoying the journey to get there that matters. Another couple said, another wife said, I had expressed frustration in the past that it was taking me too long to get there. My husband said something pretty profound. He said, what we're doing is so freaking good. Why do I want to rush this? I'm just enjoying what's happening. And when I realized he really meant what he said, it changed everything. You know, it's being in this place of, you know, understanding that marriage is a journey. Right? It's not a, like, how quick can we get to the finish line? And I don't care if we're talking about having a conversation, or if we're talking about having sex, or even just making it to 50 years married. When we're in this place, it's going, what is the journey that we're on? And how do we get curious about one another? And how do we address the things that are a concern to us in such a way that we're actually deepening the connection in our marriage? That we can have a question like this, like, I think it's taking too long. What do I do about that? And we can come to a place of going, you know what? Let's start with admitting that this is happening in our marriages.
Yeah. Here's the thing. If you're feeling that, your spouse doesn't know it. Most likely. I would have to guess if I was in foreplay and Elise and I were having foreplay and she said nothing to me, like, this is taking too long, I would never know. And so being able to share this with your spouse, I think, relieves you of the pressure that you're putting yourself in. And one of the worst things I do know, having been there, when we put ourselves in a place in the, almost like this pressure cooker, when it comes to our sexual bed, we can many a times distract ourselves or not get to where we want to go, be it for a man, have an erection, ejaculate, enjoy that moment, for a woman to be able to orgasm, because we get so much into our head. And I can share this from experience, having been there myself. And once I took off the masks, once I was willing to be open, honest, and transparent with Elisa about this, it relieved that stress or that just the mind games that I was playing with myself. Truly, it was just mind games I was playing with myself that she had no idea about, that she probably couldn't see, hear, or realize. And yet once I said it to her or mentioned it to her, then it was easy for us to be able to go, okay. And Elisa did it so lovingly. It was just like, okay, well, let's go through this and let's see what happens. And if something does, it's okay. We're doing this together.
Well, and I literally hadn't thought about this until you were just talking right now. I mean, it's been years since this has happened, but I remember that in some of those years when I felt like I was struggling, right? Struggling to achieve orgasm, struggling to get there. And we had started talking about sexual intimacy. I remember that there would be times when I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to have an orgasm. Right? I would straight up tell Tony, like,
this is during foreplay. Like, this is during foreplay. We're going after it. And she would say this. I do remember.
And I remember, because again, it was going through my head, I think I'm taking too long. And we had had the conversations that we're going to try and have more emotional intimacy around our sexual intimacy. And so I remember saying, I don't know that I'm going to have an orgasm. And I remember Tony just being like, okay, like, we're still going to engage in our sexual intimacy. I mean, he was kind of like, we're not done, right? Like, it's not over just because you said that. It was just like, all right. And even just verbalizing that took the pressure off of me to go, okay, he knows. He knows that we're not trying to get there. And then
Elisa has this really fun move. Like, when she knows she's not going to orgasm or something. Oh, and she's sort of at the point where it's just like, it's okay. Like,
I'm like, what's my fun move?
She's just sort of like, it's okay. Like, in her being, in this moment, she's just sort of like, it's okay. If I don't orgasm, it's no big deal. Elisa has this sort of like interesting way of just sort of like grabbing me. And it's sort of this unknown conversation of just sort of like, it's okay. Like, I'm not going to orgasm right now. Let's have sex.
Oh, so I would, I would actually just engage then in part of like encouraging penetration or whatever it might be to be like, I am released and I'm not upset about it, right? Like, it was just an understanding. I'm like, I know where my body is. But a lot of times we could even continue to engage in foreplay and then I would have an orgasm, but I had released myself from the pressure of doing that. And, you know, so that's part of the solution here. It's also taking the time to explore where this prescribed time, where that messaging came from for you. You know, is it the movies? Is it, you know, so, like every one of your girlfriends seems to, like when they're having a conversation, it seems like they just have an orgasm at the drop of a hat, you know, things like where did that come from? And why do you feel guilty that you're not achieving that? Right? Like, what's going on inside of you? And this may be something that you have to work with, you know, with a coach, you know, in a setting that you feel safe talking about your sexual intimacy, but it's being in that place of going, where did this come from? Because like I said, our moms, by and large, are not sitting us down and saying, honey, you know, it's going to take you 15 to 20 minutes of constant stimulation to get there. I know my mom did not have that conversation with me, right? But somewhere along the line, probably movies, I got the idea that sex should go faster.
And if masturbation has been at play, and we've had episodes around masturbation, it doesn't matter, male, female, you're going to be able to give yourself, or you're going to get be able to get yourself to orgasm quicker than your spouse will. It's just, I don't remember all the studies, and I've done some studies around this and have read about this, but we personally can masturbate and get us there quicker than most likely our spouse. And so just like a guy masturbating, the women, if you're masturbating and you're like, boom, 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 I know what to do. Well, it can take us men a little bit longer because we're still trying to figure out where we're at.
Well, and I would say masturbation and or toys, right? Toys, vibrators, right? Anything that provides stimulation that is only like one person's involved in that. When it's two people, the dynamic changes. And so it can and often does because it feels different. The speed is different. The intensity is different. You know, it's all of that. It's understanding male and female anatomy. I mean, we've talked about it significantly in this episode, but recognizing that the buildup is different, right? Blood flow is different. Yes, blood flows to the genitals in both, but the speed at which that happens, what it takes for that to happen, all of the internal mechanisms and levers. We've done enough episodes on female anatomy, anatomy of an orgasm, male anatomy, anatomy of an erection. Like, they're all there. But understand, choosing to understand it.
Truly choosing to understand it, I think, is the big thing. We, as Elisa said, many of us were never sat down by a parent and said, hey, well, this is what orgasms look like. And for the majority of us, we didn't have parents or others who came around and really spoke about our anatomy. And so when you read a book like The Penis Book or The Vagina Bible, it begins to open up your eyes to understanding how amazing we are truly made. And sometimes I think overall in our society, we've been around a bit, they make it sound like it's so simple.
Yeah.
And we are truly wonderfully made. I mean, we are wonderfully made. And there's a lot that's going on that we think we know, but I would guess if you were to read either of those books or both of those books, you'd be surprised and you'd be like, I had no idea. I mean, that's what I was saying when I was reading these books. I was like, I had no idea, both for my own body and for Elisa's.
Well, and finally, I want to give you permission to enjoy the journey, to enjoy the experience, and hear me out on this, to not be on the clock. Right? There are enough things in our life that have deadlines, that have time constraints, that have, you know, it's got it. You've got 32 minutes to do something, you know, like you've got, this is a 15 minute call. This is a 30 minute television. There are enough things that have time constraints on them. I'm going to step out on a limb and say our orgasms don't have to. Enjoy being with your husband. Enjoy exploring each other's bodies. Enjoy the touches that come along with it. But don't think that it's got to be 7 minutes or 12 minutes or 22 minutes or whatever it might be.
Unless you're doing a quickie. And in that time frame, you probably aren't having an orgasm anyways because you know it's a quickie. So let yourself off the hook and be like, game on, like, let's go have fun. I mean, you need to know your time and place. I think for that one, I just want to make sure people understand, like, you need to know your time and place. Like, there are times when Elisa and I only have about 15 minutes because we're looking at clocks and we know what's about to go down. Like, children are coming home. And so that may not allow us to get her to orgasm. But we've worked through that, and we know that because we know next week we're probably going to get an hour time frame where it's just going to be us, and we're going to be able to just hang out, and we're going to be able to enjoy, and we're going to be able, I'm going to be able to give her an orgasm or multiple orgasms because we have the time frame to do it. But let yourself go, like allow yourself some freedom in there.
And I just want to say, you know, if you're a wife and you've been listening to this episode and you're like, these are the kind of conversations like I want to be able to have with other wives. I want to feel like I can be in a safe space to talk about sexual intimacy or emotional intimacy or something that's going on in my marriage. I want to invite you to explore the Bold Wives Club. I mean, I'm working hard to create a community of wives where these are the types of conversations we're having. Not all about sex, although we do talk about sex, but it's a space where we can talk about the challenges that wives are facing in a way that both honors our marriages and is real all at the same time. And so if you're a wife and you're like, I'm curious, I invite you to go to boldwivesclub.com. But more importantly, I invite you this week to be in a space where you're like, I'm going to lay the guilt down and I'm going to enjoy my time with my husband, because it becomes a game changer when you can be fully present and there's no guilt involved and you're just enjoying the journey.
Yeah, that's great. And I will say, Elisa said it so eloquently there. Enjoy the journey. That is part of what we are on this thing called marriage. And Elisa and I are still on that journey with you. And so we hope today we were able to encourage you, give you hope around your sexual intimacy, about letting go of the guilt around having an orgasm. So that way you guys can connect and be closer than ever. So you guys go out, have a fantastic week. Have this conversation. Start to talk about your sexual intimacy and then put it into action. You guys have an amazing week. We'll catch you next week. Love you guys.